From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Colonel Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. We got a great show for you today. We got football great Tiki Barbary. He's going to be joining us later. He's now moved from the playing field to the TV studio on NBC's Today Show. We're going to ask him if he ever forgets himself and follows up a really good weather report by slapping Al Roker on the butt. But first, it's your turn to jump up and down in the end zone if you can get there. Give us a call. The number, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello, this is Alyssa Bamps in Oakdale, Minnesota.
Hey, how are things in Oakdale, Minnesota?
Cold.
Yeah, I bet. Minnesota's the center of the political world because you still don't know who your senator's going to be, right?
That's right, yes.
Wow.
We may never at this point.
It's very exciting. Is that what everybody in Minnesota is talking about, or are you bored with it already?
Well, I haven't been paying much attention to it.
Well, that's good. You're a good candidate then to play our game.
Excellent.
Welcome to our show, Alyssa. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a writer for HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, Adam Felber.
Hello, Adam.
Hello, Alyssa.
And that's just one of the women behind the Washington Post Reliable Source column is Roxanne Roberts.
Hi, Roxanne.
Hello.
And finally, it's the comedian whose first CD will be available just in time for the holidays at paulapoundstone.com, Ms. Paula Poundstone.
Hello, Paula.
Hey, Alyssa.
Alyssa, welcome to the show. Like everybody else, we have been obsessively watching Beyoncé's Single Ladies video. And that means we are ready to dance. So we thought it would be time once again to play Carl Castle's Countdown, in which he will play you a song inspired by the week's news. You guess that news item. Do that 2 times out of 3. You'll win our prize, Carl busting a move on your home answering machine. Ready to play?
Yes, I am.
All right, hit it, Carl.
Well, first up, Peter, it's a classic Motown tune sung by 3 CEOs in the House chamber this week.
So who weren't too proud to beg on Capitol Hill this week?
That's got to be the car manufacturer buyout.
Right, the auto executives,
yes,
right.
Yes, yes.
The heads of the big three American car companies came to Washington. They put a tin cup in front of them, and they held up a cardboard sign reading, "We'll continue to make cars you don't want for food." Oh, and also for $25 billion of taxpayer money. The car execs say that the crisis in their industry is completely, absolutely not their fault. It's just that the silly American people suddenly decided they no longer wanted to run down to the Starbucks in an SUV the size Freudian.
Arguably, Peter, I have to say, arguably every big car Detroit has made in the last 10 years is an SUV.
SUV, yeah, yeah. It really is.
It's a little message to the planet from Detroit.
Anyway, it did not help that all 3 execs, each of whom makes over $10 million a year, flew to the hearings to ask for taxpayer money in their company-owned private jets.
Well, they're not too proud to beg, but they're too proud to fly coach.
Exactly. The execs promised to be more frugal, and then they got into their sedan chairs to be carried out of the chamber by their footmen.
Would you have thought they would have driven?
Are you kidding?
No.
The last time the CEO of Ford tried to drive to Washington, he broke down in Pittsburgh, was there for 3 days. Carl, what is the next song?
Peter, this was a classic love song sung by Democratic senators this week.
Let's kiss and make up. Come on, let's wake up. For I need you and you need me.
So this week, the Democratic Senate caucus was happy to kiss and make up as they invited someone back to their good graces. Who?
Joe Lieberman?
Exactly right. Lieberman did a lot of things this year to annoy Democrats, but he did one very smart thing. He annoyed Democrats rather than anyone who might do something about it. Lieberman campaigned enthusiastically for John McCain, of course. He implied that Barack Obama was an unpatriotic Marxist, and he personally set fire to the Democratic National Committee offices, and he wrote and performed the YouTube hit song, "The Democrats Are a Bunch of Terrorist-Loving Weenies." But...
Yeah, but that was your poetic license.
Yes, of course. Yeah. But the Senate Democrats were feeling magnanimous. They welcomed Lieberman back, and they let him keep his prized committee chairmanship. Lieberman reacted by actually slapping Harry Reid and then saying, "You still forgive me?" And Reid said, "Sure." And then Lieberman walked around behind him and gave him a wedgie and said, "How about now?"
It defies any credulity that people, the Democrats just keep saying, "All right, we'll trust you this one more time." The guy, I mean, not only he's kind of become Gollum from The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
And he actually has started to look like him, too.
It's true.
And for him, the White House is his precious, and he keeps trying to get it, and he's never going to get it. And yet the Democrats keep trusting him, like, "Okay, you're not going to betray us this time, right? We're letting you back in." He's like, "Oh, yes."
So wait.
Yes, Joe loves Democrats. Or nice little Democrats. Loves him.
Is he Lucy and the Democrats are Charlie Brown?
The football, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I just don't think he's as Adam's point, as Lucy.
He's more goblin-like, yeah, I think, than Lucy, I think is the point.
Yeah.
Carl, I sense a big finish coming up. What you got?
Well, Peter, here's what some lucky and or well-connected people hope they'll be getting and singing soon.
Because I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden chance to make my way. And with a golden ticket, it's a golden day.
So what has become the hottest ticket in Washington, the one that people are doing anything to get?
Oh, tickets to Barack Obama's inauguration.
Exactly right. There will be 240,000 free tickets handed out for the Obama inauguration. And no, you can't have one. There's far too much demand for them. Everybody wants to be there, it seems. Well, not exactly everybody. But President Bush was told he had to go. So instead of actually being there, you know, in front of the Capitol, many people, many as 4 million, they think, are planning to pack the Washington Mall, where they'll be able to watch the event on large jumbotrons. If you can't make it to Washington, you can replicate that experience yourself at home by standing in the back of your living room and inviting 400 people you don't know to stand between you and your TV. Now, many...
Oh, and put the air conditioning on.
Yeah, exactly. Now, a lot. Now, I'm sure, Roxanne, as you've been covering, many hotels in Washington are offering premium packages. If money is no object, you can buy the Commander-in-Chief package from the Washington's Omni Shoreham Hotel for a mere $440,000.
Wow.
44. Get it? 44. You get tickets to the event, plus a four-night stay in the presidential suite. You get personalized presidential cologne and perfume. You get a puppy. Really? And if that weren't enough, noted political humorist Mark Russell will come to your suite and entertain you personally. No joke.
No.
And if you really are swimming
in it. Do they wheel in a piano with them?
You do. And if you're really swimming in it, for an extra $50,000, you get the same package, but without Mark Russell. Carl, how did Alyssa do in our quiz?
Alyssa had 3 correct answers, Peter, so she wins our prize.
Well done, Alyssa.
Great.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Stay warm, and thanks for playing.
All right, thanks.
All right, panel, time for you to answer some questions about the week's news. And it's time once again for the segment that we call...
Wait, Wait. Welcomes our new benevolent overlords.
In which we monitor the transition to the Obama administration. Paula, listen if you will now.
Yes.
To the wisdom of one James Carville.
There's a lot of momentum in the direction of this happening, but she's not married to Todd Palin.
Apparently, the problem with one of President-elect Obama's potential hires is not the candidate, but her husband, who is having her marriage vetted even one more time.
Hillary Clinton.
Exactly right. The rumor mill has been buzzing that Obama wants Hillary to be his Secretary of State, and it makes perfect sense. Obama can keep a close eye on a one-time opponent. Hillary gets to travel the world and will never again have to pretend to care about some upstate New York dairy farmer whining about price supports. But what about Bill?
Will the former president butt in, grabbing food from other people's plates at state dinners and embarrass everybody again? It's kind of funny, when Hillary raised the issue about those emergency 3 a.m. calls to the White House, we never imagined it would be Hillary herself calling the president, saying, Bill's jimmied the lock and he got out again.
You could just see Bill strolling into the Oval Office while Hillary's out in, like, you know, out in visiting Israel or something, and Obama's trying to work, and Bill's just, like, you know, fingering stuff on the mantelpiece. It's like, do you want anything? Oh, no, I'm just in here, you know. You gonna take a phone call or something? I can listen in.
No.
Yeah.
You know,
or when they call Hillary and they, you know, they need something, Bill, and answer the phone. I'll take a message. No, if you could just get you know, the secretary to the phone. No, no, that's all right. She's busy right now. I'll take a message. Which branch running by me?
Well, a hard-headed woman, soft-hearted man, been the cause of trouble ever since the world began. Oh yeah, oh yeah, ever since the world began.
Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey, this is Jason in Los Angeles.
Hey, how are things in L.A.?
You know, good.
Good.
Okay.
Are you in the film industry there? I just assume everybody is.
I used to be, and I left it to go to law school.
Really?
So that's where I am now.
So you were in the film industry, you decided to do something more reputable, like the law.
Yeah, so I went into the law.
Right.
Where are you at law school, Jason?
I'm at UCLA.
Oh, great. Good friend of mine is there. You know Susanna?
I do. We're like this.
Yeah.
Jason, it's nice to have you with us. You're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Jason's topic?
All righty, America. Time to buy a new pair of pants.
You know that whole obesity crisis? Well, we finally figured it out. It's done. It's fixed. This week we heard about an amazing innovation that's absolutely going to slim down the American populace. Each of our panelists will now tell you how America is finally going to shape up. Sadly, only one of these brilliant ideas is real.
Okay.
First, let's hear from Adam Felber.
Dr. Stephen Wacker knows his new weight loss solution may be a hard sell. Look, he says, I realize a lot of people have negative perceptions of flesh-eating bacteria. But, insists Dr. Wacker, and that is his real name, his specially bred bacteria are lipidophilic, meaning that they feed exclusively on body fat. After a week of feasting on a client, the bacteria are eliminated with antibiotics and the patient is 15 to 30 pounds lighter. As you might imagine, the fat-eating bacteria treatment isn't yet legal in the U.S., but Dr. Wacker says his center in the Dominican Republic has been operating for 6 months with dozens of satisfied clients and no tragic mishaps. Quote, the risk of an antibiotic-resistant strain developing are minimal, he says. In fact, all Dr. Wacker lacks at this point is widespread scientific approval and a more catchy slogan for his procedure. At the moment, his brochure reads, quote, the best meal for weight loss is you.
Fat-eating bacteria, available for your use at a clinic in the Dominican.
Okay.
The next story of a surefire solution to our nation's weight problem comes from Roxanne Roberts.
Bored with the morning jog around the neighborhood? Hate staring at the Today Show while pounding the treadmill? Wouldn't it be great if you could combine the two? Well, now you can with SpeedFit, the world's first moving treadmill / transportation device. If you thought Segways looked stupid, picture this. A mini tank-sized treadmill on wheels, powered by running on the tread, directed by a steering wheel, although it doesn't make turns all that well. Now imagine this moving down the street at, quote, 3 times the speed of walking, according to inventor Alice Kazilian. The company is currently looking for investors by posting an unintentionally hilarious video on the web. No serious nibbles yet, but General Motors is reportedly very interested.
The SpeedFit, a treadmill that moves outside, so you run on it, and it's just like running. Your last story of a miracle fat burner comes from Paula Poundstone.
Isometric wind resistance therapy claims to be a unique doctor-approved weight loss technique. Giant fans mounted across the wall of a room create a wind resistance up to 120 miles per hour. The force of the isometric wind resistance therapy turns even the simplest of tasks into a powerful muscle-building physical feat, claims creator Will Olive. Just remaining in a sitting position while watching TV is an effective abdominal workout. And if you have to adjust the volume, lifting the remote control is the equivalent of weightlifting at the gym. It comes with suction cups and clamps to protect valuable artwork. Plus, paperweights up to 150 pounds. User Heather Lowe boasts weight loss of over 100 pounds. It's fantastic. The best part is that I didn't have to change my lifestyle at all. I could eat all of the foods that I love. It's just that it was a workout to power a Toll House cookie into my mouth. And if I missed, it would be plastered to the wall behind me. I feel great. If I can lose 10 more pounds, I'll have to lower the wind resistance or be blown through the living room window, which would also be great.
All right. One of these things will help you get those pounds off and keep them off. Is it from Adam Felber? Flesh-eating bacteria. From Roxanne Roberts, the speed fit, the treadmill that moves. Or from Paula Poundstone, isometric wind resistance. Which of these is the real exercise and or weight loss technique in the news?
I think the isometric wind resistance is too good to be true.
Right.
And Dr. Wacker is not right. So I hope. So I'm going to have to go with Roxanne and the speed fit.
You're going to go with the speed fit, the treadmill that goes outside.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are so pleased to tell you we spoke to the inventor of this revolutionary new weight loss technique.
Why stay in a gym and exercise, spend an hour to exercise when you can run your errands and do exercise in the same time?
That was Alex Astillian, who invented the treadmill speed fit.
Yes.
Talking about the benefits of his amazing invention.
Woohoo!
Does that mean I shouldn't be using the flesh-eating bacteria?
Yeah. Yeah, you probably shouldn't.
Congratulations, Jason. You got it right. You've earned a point for Roxanne. You've won our prize. Carl Castle will record the greeting on your home answering machine.
Thanks.
Well done, sir.
Couldn't be more excited.
Oh,
thank
it's
you
a
very
exciting
much.
Thing. Also, visit our website at waitwait.npr.org to see the amazing video of the speed fit in action. Thanks so much for playing with us today, Jason.
Thanks. It was a blast.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
He's walking one and only, and they're calling him by name. He won't be leaving town till he can cop some fame. They don't know what he takes, but it's the reason why.
And now the game where we ask famous people questions they've never heard before. It's called Not My Job. Tiki Barber was one of the great running backs in NFL history, and then at the height of his fame, he walked away to become a TV personality. He's now a correspondent with NBC's The Today Show and has written a new workout book. Tiki Barber, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So you played running back. You played football in the NFL for 9 years.
10 years.
10 years, excuse me. Most famously, of course, with the New York Giants.
Yep.
And one of the amazing things about you, in addition to your level of success, was that your twin brother was out there playing as well, right?
He is still playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
And so I'm not sure. He's a defensive player. Did you ever play against him?
We did play against each other five times exactly.
So did it ever happen that you were running down the field? You were in an open field run, you're on your way, and the only person standing between you and the end zone was your own twin brother?
Never that dramatic, but that would have been a good movie. But yeah. We did come in contact a couple of times, and he tackled me once, and the other time I ran through him.
Really?
Nice.
Yeah.
And was there much various taunting?
Oh, there was so much trash talking. In fact, one time he tackled me, I was already getting tackled. He came up and he put his elbow into my face and said, and I said to him, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm trying to make it look good." You know, because that's like a big story. When twins tackle each other, people think it's cool. See, they're really playing the game. They really care about the passion of it. But he just wanted to make it look good. So the next year I had to run him over, and I don't think he appreciated it.
No, I guess not. But he's your brother. He's used to it.
Of course.
Whenever we get to talk to professional athletes, we're always curious about the secrets of the game. In your case, we really want to know, what do you guys talk about in the huddle?
You honestly want to know?
I really want to know.
We talk about the people in the front row of the stadium. So if you ever get tickets, don't ever sit in the front row.
Really? Really?
Absolutely. Especially if it's warm outside and the clothing is minimal. That's what we talk about.
I got to ask you this. I apologize in advance, but you played for the Giants for many years.
Yes.
You walked away at pretty much at the height of your career. You said, "Hey, I want to walk away when I can still walk." And then the very next season, they won the Super Bowl. How did that feel watching?
You know, honestly, I was a big fan of the team even after I retired because I walked away and I didn't look back, and I never regretted. Those guys, they accomplished something phenomenal. And if you watch that game, you realize that this is why you watch sports, to see something so unfathomable and unpredictable against what a lot of people were calling the best team in the NFL. But I always say life is about timing. It was great timing for me on a personal level to get into my next profession. Maybe not so much for football, but it was great for me in my life and personally in my quality of life.
Did you feel like pulling a Brett Favre and saying, "No, I was just kidding. Let me back. No."
Did you hang out with the team at the Super Bowl? Did you spend the week there with them? And
no, Coach Coughlin had them in lockdown. They were like on an Indian reservation, you know, 40 miles outside of the city. They didn't see anybody except for one party took place at the hotel that they were staying at. Can you guess which one it was?
No.
The Playboy party.
Oh, of course.
But the night before the game was at their hotel, and then none of them got to go.
Oh,
as I retired,
that's
guess
cool.
Who got to go?
You got to go. You've been living, you made this wonderful and practically seamless transition to TV. Obviously, you're on the
Today Show. It's all an illusion.
Really?
Yes.
You were on the Today Show. You did a great spot as a guest judge on Project Runway.
That's absolutely right.
Because you're known as a bit of a clothes horse, if I may.
Just because my wife works for Zinnia, Hermenegildo Zinnia, and so I have nothing in my closet but Zinnia. And literally, it's like your animals. You know, when I wake up in the morning, my clothes are laid out. I look great every day, but I have no claim to it.
Now you've written a fitness book.
Yeah.
A workout routine. And I got to ask, because we all have seen the TV commercials and we've all seen the ads.
You can't get fit in 10 minutes, buddy.
That's the question.
You can't do it.
Because these models are standing there and they say, 30 minutes a day. And you're like, come on, those models spend 5 hours a day.
Exactly. And that's what we try to espouse in this book, is that old fashion is the new fashion. It's 15 minutes won't get it done. Looking at the pretty people and thinking you're going to get into shape just by osmosis doesn't work. Mm-hmm. You have to really put your mind into it and commit to it. And physically lift a lot of weight, especially as a guy, that is, to lift a lot of weight in order to get strong and have this functional strength that's good for you. Right. And for women, it's different. A lot of women think that when they lift weights, they're going to get bulky, but genetically, their shape difference and their hormones are much different than men's hormones. So they gain muscle, but their fat covers it and makes them look shapely.
Wow. So let me ask you a question.
You ever try using wind resistance?
You know?
How about flesh-eating bacteria?
Is that like jumping out of an airplane?
Yeah,
yes.
That's good. With a staph infection?
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, you are in a particular bit of... You're in a position to offer some advice to the president-elect, and we know he listens, of course. And so I want to ask your opinion. As everybody knows, President-elect Obama is very attached to his mother-in-law,
mm-hmm.
who is very close to his family and looks after his children. In fact, she's coming with them to Washington.
That's a good thing.
And that's what I was going to ask you, because you actually lived with your in-laws for a period of time.
I still live with my in-laws. My mother and father-in-law lived with me, and they have since the day that my first son, AJ, was born. And I got to tell you, it's been a godsend, because when we go out and keep our social life on occasion, we don't have to worry who's home with our kids. And
and
my wife is half Vietnamese, half Korean, so my kids are half Asian, half Black. And they get the benefit of two cultures. One, my culture, African-American culture, but also the Asian culture, where you learn to take care of your own.
Do you have any pitfalls you want to advise the president-elect to avoid?
Stay away. Let mother and mother-in-law do their thing.
Right.
there's this whole mantra with husbands and wives. There's certain fights that you don't fight with your wife.
Yeah.
Well, there's really certain fights you don't fight with your mother-in-law.
Right. Well, Tiki Barber, we are delighted to have you with us. Now, we have invited you here to play a game that this week we're calling...
Happy Birthday, Mickey. I said, Happy Birthday, Mickey. That rodent's deaf as a post, too.
This week, Mickey Mouse celebrated his 80th birthday.
Wow.
It's true, and we thought we'd celebrate by asking you three questions about his history.
Wow.
Answer two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice, and their home answering machine.
Okay.
Carl, who is Tiki Barber playing for?
Danae K. Mink of Seattle, Washington.
All right, ready to play?
I am, I think.
First question. Now, you've probably heard that Steamboat Willie was the first Mickey Mouse short, mm-hmm. but it wasn't. It was only the first one to be widely distributed and the first one in sound. Mickey Mouse made his actual debut in what silent short film? Was it A, Hooch Mooch, in which Mickey gets into a bottle of bathtub gin and gets all nutty? Was it B, Plane Crazy, in which pilot Mickey tries so hard to kiss an unwilling Minnie Mouse that she jumps out of the plane? Or was it C, Bushed by Bushmen, in which Mickey is chased by amusing native, quote, savages in Africa?
Hmm. I'm going to go with B.
You're going to go with B, Plane Crazy?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're right. That's true.
Nice.
In the short, Mickey builds his own plane and gives Minnie a ride, but it's all an excuse to sort of get into the quarter-mile high club, if you will. And Minnie is having none of it, jumps out of the plane. Next question. As you probably know, the Walt Disney Company is extremely protective of their trademark on Mickey and his friends. In fact, they once successfully sued whom to protect Mickey's image? Was it A, Good Godmother Daycare in Hallandale, Florida, which had the temerity to paint Mickey on one of its walls? B, 16-year-old Courtney Esposito of Ann Arbor, Michigan, who did a Minnie Mouse routine in the talent portion of the Miss Teen Michigan contest? Or C, Pan's Pets of Arcata, California, which offered a special breed of Mickey Mouses to feed to people's pet snakes?
I'm going to say C.
You're going to go C, Pan's Pets of Arcata?
Yes.
No, actually, it was Good Godmother Daycare.
Really?
Yeah, they painted Mickey Mouse, a couple of other Disney characters in the walls. Disney came and said, no, you're not allowed. They had to take them off, and Universal Studios happily donated some of their characters for the publicity. All right, this is very exciting.
It's opportunistic of them.
Oh, yes.
What did Universal donate? Like the shark from Jaws?
Something like that.
Frankenstein.
Daycare center became a nightmare.
Mommy, I don't want to go.
The guy with the hockey mask is on the wall.
All right, this is very exciting, Tiki. It's a dramatic situation.
Where's Mickey?
This is fourth and inches. Here we go. Game's on the line, man. Game's on the line.
The problem is they put Brandon Jacobs in this situation.
No.
Oh, come on.
No, sir. They're giving you the ball. Here we go. Last question. Get this right, you win. Sometimes Disney is powerless to prevent people from misusing Mickey, which is why somewhere in the world at one point you could have found which of these. A, a temple on a Pacific island in which Mickey is worshipped along with other icons and idols.
Oh, that's definitely it.
B, a Mickey... Oh, hang on, though. Two more choices. B, a Mickey lookalike created for the official Hamas TV station to urge young viewers towards jihad. Or C, a huge snow Mickey created every year for small arms target practice at a Russian military base in Antarctica.
I think it's B.
You're going to go for B?
I think it's B.
Hamas Mickey?
Yes.
You're right.
I think I actually told the story.
You're right. His name was Farfour. He was a Mickey clone, right down to his white gloves and round black ears. He appeared briefly on Hamas TV, urging young viewers to liberate Jerusalem. Carl, how did Tiki Barber do in our quiz?
Peter, he had two correct answers, so Tiki wins for Danae K. Mink of Seattle, Washington.
Well done.
Danae, I'm sorry. My apologies.
No, you did it. You did it.
I know. That's what I'm saying. My apologies.
Well, she wants Carl's voice on her answer.
Okay.
No, we don't force this upon them. At least we don't do that anymore.
As the early days.
Yeah. Tiki Barber is a correspondent for NBC's Today Show. He's the author of the new book, Tiki Barber's Pure Heart Workout. He also was a Pro Bowl running back for the New York Giants. Tiki Barber, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Tiki. You guys are fun. I appreciate it.
We had a fun time with you. Thanks a lot, Tiki. Bye-bye.
Be good.
They call little Mickey Mouse. Got a sweetie down in the chicken house. Neither fat nor skinny, she's the horse's Winnie is my little Minnie Mouse. When it's feeding time for the animals, and they howl and growl like the cannibals.
Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Roxanne, this week NASA suffered a couple of setbacks. First, they lost a tool belt, and they say they're totally not worried, though, about the fact that something else has gone missing on the International Space Station. What?
The Navigator!
No, sorry.
Okay, I heard about the tool. This was a $100,000 bag of tools,
yes.
Right?
Good tools.
Something else has gone missing.
Something else has gone missing. They suspect that it went up the waterspout.
A spider.
Oh. Astronauts brought two spiders to the space station to see how they behave in microgravity.
Itsy bitsy?
And one of them, well, it got away. Not to worry, they said, NASA said, they're sure it will show up someday, as will the Russian astronaut was last seen struggling in some kind of giant web before being dragged away by something. Also in the news, as you heard, the American astronaut who, of course, lost this bag filled with tools during a spacewalk. NASA says they can't get it back, although they did find a note written in cobwebs saying, "Now I have a cordless drill."
Yeah. It's it does seem like they're just kind of like writing a horror movie up there.
They really are.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry. We'll be able to catch it in our radioactive arachnid containment unit. It's right in the tool bag.
You know, if they follow the song, down comes the rain and washes the spider out.
In space.
You think they should just turn on the sprinkler system? I could see that final scene. Rain! We need rain! How can we get rain? As the spider is outside the door.
see, this is the flaw in this whole thing, because I'm a big Charlotte's Web fan.
Right.
So for me,
spiders are
kind of maternal and sweet and benevolent and are kind of your friend, and they'll watch out for you and take care of you unless they are exposed to space cooties.
Yeah.
Something terrible happens.
It'd be kind of like, open the pod bay doors, Charlotte. I'm sorry, Wilbur, I can't do that. Adam, thanks to a new service, users of the TiVo DVR will be able to do something without moving from their couches. What?
Order food.
Yes, order a pizza. You know how it is, you're watching...
It had to happen.
You're watching an episode, say, of My Wife and Kids, and it's just so riveting that you can't tear yourself away to make dinner. So here comes TiVo. It's a new channel. It allows users to order pizza directly from the screen. Customers will no longer have to complete strenuous activities like punching numbers into a phone. TiVo says it plans to expand the service by allowing delivery men to enter your house. No need to get up and pay. And in a service to be rolled out next year, it will deliver the pizza pureed and put in an IV bag to save you the trouble of chewing and digesting.
Yeah, you know, I have to say, they need to expand this program even more. Because, like, I like bringing oxygen into my lungs as much as the next guy. But who wants to go to all the effort?
Exactly. Paula, a British psychologist, has determined that the best way for a man to attract a woman at a nightclub is to do what?
Show her money.
Actually, flash the cash.
Yes. Mm.
No. In order to do this correctly, one must wear a white polyester three-piece suit with a black shirt opened halfway to the navel.
Disco dancing?
Yes, but disco dancing specifically like whom?
Like John Travolta?
Exactly right. Dance like John Travolta. Women like nothing better than a man confident enough to strut his stuff Travolta style on the dance floor.
You know, I've really been suspect of some of the studies that you guys mentioned. Where did you get that study? Was it done by Mr. Cotter's class?
It must be true. We read about it on the internet.
Yeah.
I think it was funded by the John Travolta Sexual Attraction Foundation.
Yes.
You know, the San Diego Travolta Institute is a respectable organization. And they've proved many, many interesting scientific points over the years. This is just one of them.
Name another.
Another is that angels probably look like John Travolta. It's scientific fact.
So what the researchers did was they showed video clips of 15 different dance moves to women, and they asked their opinion about which is the most sexy, attractive, and they went for the John Travolta doing the hustle disco dancing from Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah, but you made it sound like when a guy's in a bar. Carl, I'm going to ask for a judgment here. You made it sound like when a person was in a bar, what a man would do that would attract a woman. I got to tell you, if a man is in a bar and he gets up and begins to dance like John Travolta
to Lynyrd Skynyrd,
okay, let me just say, there's so many factors that can't be controlled here. What bar? Yeah,
I think the distinction is that I would be highly suspect of a man who walked up to me wearing a three-piece white polyester suit. However, if someone actually had some good moves but was not wearing a three-piece white polyester suit, I might be more impressed.
You guys, have you seen Saturday Night Fever recently?
No.
It doesn't hold up that well. I don't know what we were on in the late 70s.
Well, I read a study that says it holds up very well.
Hey,
Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or you can send an email to waitwait@npr.org. You can also go to our website at waitwait.npr.org, where you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago. And you can download the Wait Wait podcast for your computer or MP3 player. Hi, you're on Wait Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Erin Matheny in Hammond, Louisiana.
Hey, how are things in Hammond?
Not too bad.
And what do you do there?
I'm the director of a research project. I work at a local university.
Oh, I see. What are you researching?
John Travolta.
I work on housing and homeless issues.
Really?
Have you ever done any studies?
Well, see, the thing is, if you were just going by our show, all researchers in the world are only concerned with what makes men attractive to women and vice versa, I think. So you don't do that. You do something.
No, it's far less interesting,
sexy,
I suppose.
Erin, right. Welcome to our show. Now, Carl Castle will read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly, on two of the limericks, you'll be a winner. Ready to go?
I believe so.
All right, here is your first limerick.
Back when we were barbaric and yappy, upright perambulation was sloppy. No, it seems that our feet were not firm and complete. They were soft, also loose and quite.
Sloppy?
What'd you say?
Floppy?
Floppy? Floppy is right. Very good.
Oh, good.
Perhaps you imagine our most distant ancestors look like the Geico caveman, or perhaps Raquel Welch in a fur bikini. Turns out, more like Bozo. According to Evie Varecki of the University of Liverpool, our ancestors were a lot like modern gibbons with big bendy feet that gave them a goofy, floppy stride. Varecki says she's found other evidence that leads her to believe that the early humans likely had big red noses and wore squirting flowers for ornamentation. She said she has yet to discover how so many of them were able to live in one tiny, tiny cave.
Yeah. You know, we should have known when we saw those cave paintings of hunting mastodon with pies.
And seltzer bottles.
Oh, yes. It took eight early humans with seltzer bottles to bring down a mastodon.
It worked, though.
Here's your next limerick.
Roaches scamper as fast as they can, and it seems they meet up at a van. It is all taking shape. It's a thought-out escape. Yes, cockroaches have a grand
plan.
Right. Cockroaches won't just survive the apocalypse. They're actually making plans. According to a study in Current Biology. You see, this is the kind of study we need.
Yeah.
Cockroach planning study. Cockroaches work out escape plans in case they encounter a threat. When attacked, the roaches know that running straight is too dangerous, so instead they run away at an angle based on how wildly the attacker is waving the shoe. Researchers say the roaches also have implemented a sophisticated buddy system. They have periodic safety drills. They have lookout posts. They've even designated a safe meeting place, namely, on your toothbrush. Here.
And they run at specific angles, not just any angle. You know, what is it, 180 and 90?
It depends. Yeah. They're very precise.
Yeah.
But that's short-range planning.
Running away at an angle.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they've got a long-range plan for anything.
They don't have investments, if that's what you mean.
That's what I'm talking about.
Wouldn't matter if they did at this point.
Yeah. If they did, it was a terrible plan.
Yeah.
All right, here's your last limerick.
Oh, man, babies are rough, no denying. With our bedtime, the kid's not complying. Since his eyes won't stay dry, a machine we will buy that will tell us why he is still
crying?
Yes, crying. Every parent, of course, has a monitor to let them know what their child is doing, if it's crying or not. Well, every caring good parent has one. What are those kids trying to say? The new Why Cry monitor converts a baby's cries into sound waves, which it analyzes for energy, frequency, pitch, and then reveals what exactly your kid's problem is. For instance, a high pitch and demanding cry means the baby is hungry. A short, intense cry that drops and rises means the baby is stressed, perhaps over having his every utterance analyzed. While a long, drawn-out sigh means, my parents are wasting my college fund and a bunch of high-tech crap. Carl, how did Erin do on our quiz?
Well, Erin is a winner, Peter. Erin, you had three correct answers, so you win our prize.
Well done.
Oh, fantastic.
Thank you so much for playing, Aaron.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as they can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
We have a tie for first place, Peter. Paula Poundstone and Roxanne Roberts each has 3 points. Adam Felber has 2.
All right. Adam, you're in third place. You're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. In a video message released this week, the number two leader of blank made disparaging remarks about President-elect Obama.
Al-Qaeda.
Okay, now we're mad. Yes. After losing his re-election bid, 85-year-old blank gave his last speech in the Senate on Thursday.
Ah, oh, that's Stevens.
Right. Skirmishes broke out in the Gulf of Aden after a Saudi supertanker was hijacked by blank.
Pirates.
Right. Stocks went down after blank announced it would be cutting 50,000 jobs worldwide.
General Motors?
Citibank.
Citibank.
Yes. We assume the parents of a man picked up on drug charges in Ohio were big Scarface fans because they named him blank.
Oh, yeah. Something, something Al Pacino. It was a Scarface reference.
It was. It was Dal Capone Al Pacino Morris.
Dal Capone Al Pacino Morris. Oh. That's
according to Democratic sources, Obama's pick for Secretary of Homeland Security is blank.
Janet Napolitano.
Right. The latest word to be added to the Collins English Dictionary is blank, a word expressing indifference or boredom.
Meh.
Right. To catch a serial burglar, police in Germany unveiled their new secret weapon, blanks.
Cereal with traps in it.
No. Tree suits. Police found an ad for tree suits in a mail order catalog. They bought the suits with their own money. So when the two officers got a tip about a serial burglar's hideout, it seemed like the perfect opportunity to try them out. After 8 hours of posing as landscaping, it paid off. Explained one of the officers, quote, as we jumped up from the ground, we were immediately attacked, but we were able to overwhelm and arrest him. The man is facing trial and years of therapy. The trees are after me, Doc. Carl, how did Adam do?
Adam had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. He now has 12 points, and Adam has taken the lead.
Ooh, well done.
Precarious, very precarious lead.
All right, we have flipped a coin. You're up next, fill in the blank. President-elect Obama named blank as his Health and Human Services Secretary on Wednesday.
Tom Daschle.
Right. On Monday, federal regulators charged Dallas Mavericks owner blank with insider trading.
Bubba Yupkins.
No. He sold the team to Mark Cuban.
Yes.
In what experts are hailing as a medical milestone, doctors in Spain successfully transplanted a blank grown from the patient's own stem cells.
A brain.
A windpipe. Eric Holder was named as Obama's probable choice for the position of blank.
Oh, the position of Attorney General.
Right. This week, People magazine chose Hugh Jackman as this year's blank.
Sexiest man alive.
Right. A Maryland lobbyist showed up on time to a meeting at the state capitol despite blank.
The fact that he's from a little state and it doesn't really matter.
No. Despite being mauled by a deer and then tending to his injuries with a binder clip. Gilbert Jen was getting ready for work last Thursday when a deer in his yard went all Rambo on him and impaled him in the chest twice. He did what anybody would do. He grabbed the deer by the horns,
wouldn't
pinned it to
Bambo?
The ground. What?
Sorry, wouldn't that be Bambo?
Bambo. This time, he's allowed to win. So he grabs the deer by the horns, wrestles it to the ground, and then runs away. He quickly patched up his injuries with a binder clip and some peroxide and headed in to his office for a lobbying presentation. Because, you know, that's the kind of lobbyist he is. Carl, how did Paula do in our quiz?
Paula had 3 correct answers for 6 more points. She now has 9 points, but Adam still has the lead with 12.
All right, Carl, how many then does Roxanne need to win?
5 correct answers.
5 correct answers. Can you do it?
We'll see.
All right, Roxanne, this is for the game, fill in the blank. AAA said that this year travel over blank will decline for the first time in 6 years.
The Thanksgiving weekend.
Right. Jerry Yang announced Monday that he would be stepping down as the CEO of blank.
Yahoo?
Right. The son of blank said he would not take over his father's Senate seat and left with his unit to serve in Iraq.
Joe Biden.
Right. On Monday, the prime minister of blank announced that they would release 250 Palestinian prisoners in a goodwill gesture.
Israel.
Right. A British man was reunited with his missing 2-year-old parrot when the parrot blank.
Give the police his address.
No, called him up.
Oh.
To settle the discrimination lawsuit, online dating service blank agreed to launch a site for same-sex singles.
E-fabulous. No, E-harmony.
Right. As part of a lawsuit brought against him by a Bahrainian prince, blank will testify at a British court next week.
Michael Jackson.
Right. Officials in Germany are on the hunt for a convicted drug dealer who escaped from prison by blanking.
He pretended to be a nun.
No. He mailed himself out of the prison.
Ooh.
The man worked in the jail's stationery shop, and he apparently disguised himself as a box of paper to be shipped out.
and then once in the mail truck, he got out of the box and escaped. Police said they have not yet located him, but since they have his tracking number, they're confident.
We'll
locate him soon.
How big is this guy?
Well, it's a small guy, big box, I guess. Carl, did Roxanne do well enough to win?
She needed 5 to win. She had 6 correct answers. So with 15 points, Roxanne Roberts is this week's champion.
I think to that we can all say, meh.
Meh.
In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists to predict how the auto industry will save itself from collapse. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Angie's List, providing firsthand consumer reviews on local service like plumbers, painters, movers, and now doctors. Details at angieslist.com. The members of the National Association of Realtors working on behalf of America's residential and commercial property owners on the web at realtor.com, and Fox Searchlight Pictures presenting Slumdog Millionaire, Danny Boyle's new film about first love and reaching your destiny, now playing in select theaters. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and Chicago Public Radio. In association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, executive producer. BJ Liedemann composed our theme. Our program is directed by Melody Kramer and produced by Emily Ecton. The senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Danforth. Now, panel, how will the big three automakers save themselves? Paula Poundstone.
They're going to switch to an all-volunteer workforce.
Roxanne Roberts.
All car dealerships will start piping Bee Gees music into the showroom, where all the salesmen will be dancing like John Travolta.
That'll bring him in. And Adam Felber.
They're going to devote their resources into building what they know, private planes.
Well, if the auto industry does any of those things, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Paula Poundstone, Roxanne Roberts, and Adam Felber. Thanks to all of you for listening. I am Peter Sagal, and we will see all of you next week. This is NPR, National Public Radio.